Good morning and welcome to Glendale Christian Church. My name is Andrew. I'm the preacher here. And I'm really excited to see so many of you with us today. Oh, I hope you're blessed by our service. Sometimes the smallest comments can create the biggest issues. Whispers can be a really glorious and wonderful thing if we hear whispers from God. Whispers can also tell us beautiful, sweet nothings. Whispers can be very encouraging, but whispers can also be destructive. We all know that gossip is inappropriate for people of the Lord. We all know that slander is inappropriate for people who follow Jesus. We all know that lobbing false accusations and slander, the things that Christ himself had to endure before going to the cross, are totally inappropriate. But sometimes the whispers that we hear are not always in this vein. Sometimes the whispers that we hear are not just against other people, but they are against ourselves. Sometimes the whispers that we hear bespeak our problems and cause bigger issues in our lives than in others. I wonder if you've ever heard a whisper like this before. I like Jesus, just not the church. We live in a society where increasingly more people are comfortable identifying as spiritual, but less and less comfortable identifying with the church. We can see reasons for this, of course. Jesus is venerated and vaulted as this marvelous teacher. Oh, and he is. But one of the things that Jesus taught was community and the church. We are the body of Christ. And for someone to say, I like Jesus, just not the church, misunderstands Jesus. The person who says this is not really following Jesus in this regard. We know full well that the church, which is comprised of human people and therefore is not perfect in and of itself, yet is in worship of the perfect God, is still the bride for which Christ himself died. And saying that you like the groom but not his bride is not a good way to get on the groom's good side, if you know what I mean. Some people like Jesus, but not the church, and I would encourage them to look harder, to walk with grace, to see with compassion, the same way that Christ sees. Or maybe you've heard this whisper before. Psst, I don't really want to be involved. Fine, I'll go to church. I'll go to church. I'll get my coffee. I'll sit in the back. I don't want to say hi to anybody. I don't want anybody to say hi to me. And I want to hightail it before that last song is even done. Don't ask me to get involved. You may have even remembered being such a person. Involvement is not going to kill you. Involvement actually might be the thing that keeps your faith alive. You don't really want to be involved. Well, why not? Why don't you want to be involved? Sometimes a lack of involvement speaks to our consumer mentality. Sometimes we just want to be fed. Sometimes we just want to be catered to. Sometimes we just want to find out what kind of programs they have for the kids. They can get involved. Sometimes we want to find out, oh, what kind of sermons do they have? What kind of music do they have? Fine. In, out, God stuff, check, moving on. Oh, I'd ask you to reconsider. Faith grows best in groups. So allow your faith to flourish. Or maybe you've heard this whisper before. Psst, I can follow Jesus all on my own. All on my own. In fact, one time I was at church and I even heard that tall, handsome preacher say something like this. God values my knowledge. God values my worship. God values my service. See, it's all about me. I can do it on. No. Even though Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us, which is why our values are stated that way. God values my knowledge, because it's not enough for you to say, oh, the elders have knowledge. It's not enough for you to say, oh, the staff has knowledge, so I don't have to grow. Of course, you have to grow in knowledge. You have to grow in worship. You have to grow in service. But going at it alone is no way to go at it at all. You know, school starts up this week. Maybe started past week for some of you. Universities get kicked off really, really soon. Oh, we need to be in prayer for our teachers returning. We need to be in prayer for our students returning or starting up school. It is a scary thing. Imagine being a kid, maybe in junior high. Imagine being a junior high kid, a Christian young man, He's gone to camp. He's rededicated his life to the Lord. He's on fire. He's ready. And then he has to walk into the public school system. He may feel all alone. If he does not find the community of believers with whom he can work out this faith together, oh, bad things will happen. Imagine going to a public school system where Jesus is not celebrated, where identifying as a Christian is not always venerated or vaulted, but is sometimes scorned or diminished. Or imagine being a freshman at Missouri State University. Imagine being a freshman going to college for the very first time. I was such a freshman in the year 1999. I went to college at Missouri State, and I didn't get involved. I didn't go to church. I thought I could do this Jesus thing alone. And after one semester, I was so thoroughly chewed up and spit out, I nearly walked away. I had to drop out of college. I had to start going and selling used cars. I couldn't handle it. I didn't find a community. But there are communities of believers that we can find. And we have to point our people to these communities. I implore you, as a young man or a woman, whether you're going to junior high, whether you're going to high school, whether you're going to college, please find a community. You cannot do it alone. Being alone is death. Did you know that 80% of high school kids who graduate as Christian go to a secular university and 4 years later graduate as atheists? College is where faith goes to die. So if you're going to go for a degree, keep your faith alive. You must find community. You cannot do it all alone. And I remember Dave sending the guys to knock on my door, not answering, pretending I wasn't there. I didn't want to be involved. What a mistake. I didn't go to church. What a mistake. I tried to do it alone. What a mistake. Praise God that he kept me alive, because I was not pointed in the right direction at all. We need to pray for our returning students and teachers. We must. We cannot do it alone. And I know we can't do it alone. God's plan has always been for us to be a part of community. And I know this because God himself is community. He is a community. Yahweh is the Trinity. For about a year now, we have been celebrating the name Yahweh. The name that God revealed to us, his personal name, as first revealed in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where he tells Moses, I am who I am. My name is Yahweh. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is the name you are to celebrate from generation to generation. The name Yahweh does not merely apply to the Heavenly Father. The name Yahweh applies to the whole Trinity. God is three in one. God is personal, but he's not just personal, he's tri-personal. And the three persons that compose the one being who is named Yahweh are the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and the Heavenly Father. These three beings, or these three persons together, compose one divine being. There is only one God. His name is Yahweh, and yet he exists as three divine persons. God has always been community, even apart from creation. God never had to create a single thing in order to experience and appreciate perfect community. For the Spirit could love the Father and the Son. The Son could love the Father and the Spirit. And the Father could love the Spirit and the Son. All three in perfect community. For our God is tri-personal. But because of his great love, because of his marvelous community, he expanded outward. And the best thing that God ever made was us. Yes, us. Not because we're inherently great, but because we are image bearers of Yahweh. We are made in his image. In the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, in verses 26 and 27, God, Yahweh, he uses the first person plural pronoun out of himself, and he says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may have dominion over the earth. And so God made man in his image, in his likeness, male and female, he created them. Oh, we are made in the image of God, and God is community. Therefore, I know that we are made for community. We are made for community. In the very second chapter of the book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we hear Yahweh say of the man he had created, it is not good for man to be alone. so I will find a helper suitable for him. But there was no helper suitable for him in all the world, because the only helper suitable to one made in the image of God is another made in the image of God. And so God took the rib from Adam and he formed Eve, made in his image, and together the image bearers of God fulfill the call of God to subdue and to multiply. This is the purpose for which we were created. And we know this all the way through. The second person of the Trinity takes on the name Jesus, the name which is above all names. It means Yahweh saves. And when he stepped out of the throne room of heaven, and when he came to earth on a rescue mission to save us, he called 12 disciples. Oh, he preached to thousands, but he had 12 that he poured into most regularly. Jesus, God himself, was in community with those made in his image. And of course, the Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, that the church is the body of Christ. To do the will of Christ, the body of Christ must do that which those made in the image of Christ are called to do, live in community. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We can't say, I'm not a small groups guy. We can't say, no, I don't want to go to Bible study. No, we can't say, oh, I'll just try to do it alone. None of these things will work, because we have been called to something better. We've been called to something great. Jesus issued this call in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, when he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Oh, the invitation of Christ is marvelous. It is an invitation. Come, follow me. Jesus beckons us to follow him. And as we follow him, he will make us. He will remake us. He will transform us. He will transform us so that we can become fishers of men. Discipleship is a lifelong apprenticeship program. And just as every apprentice seeks to do that which his master has done, so we seek to do what Jesus has done. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to fish for men. And so he will make us fishers of men when we follow him. It is a glorious and godly thing to be a disciple. But what is a disciple exactly? Well, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. But it's not just someone who follows Jesus. There are some very specific things that go along with our following of Jesus. A disciple is a radical, all-in, come-what-may, spirit-led follower of Jesus. Oh, sure, a disciple follows Jesus. But there are five aspects to the discipleship process of Christ. First is that we're radical. Oh, radical. It's not timid. It's not mealy-mouthed. It's not half-measure discipleship. Discipleship is a call to be radical. That means when people think, oh, some people do faith, they see a disciple and they see someone who does faith to the extreme, because it changes everything about everything we are. A disciple is radical. A disciple is all in. A disciple does not tip his toe into the water, dip his toe in just a little bit. Nope, a disciple jumps all in. All in. We totally immerse ourselves in discipleship. We don't just hedge our bets. We go all in on Jesus as God. Jesus is Yahweh saves. Jesus is God in the flesh. Therefore, we are all in on Jesus. A disciple is a radical all in, come what may. Come what may. If they slap the silver bracelets on us or they slap a medal on our chest, either way, we are all for Jesus. If they castigate us or they celebrate us, either way, we are all about Jesus. There is no fair weather fandom for a follower of Jesus. It is come what may. Come what may. A radical, all in, come what may, spirit-led. You've got to be spirit-led. The Bible tells us very, very clearly that if you don't have the Spirit of God within you, you're not a Christian. It's the Spirit of God within us that tells us we are a Christian, that we are the children of God, that we are co-heirs of Christ, adopted by the Father. The Spirit of God leads us. He leads us so that we can follow the example of Jesus. And that's what it's ultimately all about, following. Radical, all-in, come what may, spirit-led follower of Jesus. And if you are a disciple, you have embarked upon the process of discipleship, which is the process of growing Christ-like. We're little Christs. We want to grow up just like the big Christ. We want to be just like Jesus. We want to be the apprentice who follows our master, and we want to become Christ-like. And it is a lifelong process. When we initially place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved from the penalty of our sins, and this is justification. When we collaborate with the Holy Spirit, we experience what's known as sanctification. And this is growing in Christlikeness, being saved from the power of sin. And someday we will be saved from the very presence of sin. And this is known as glorification, when we receive a resurrection body like his resurrection body. This is the hope that all Christians share. This is our hope. Discipleship is what it is all about. In fact, Glendale Christian Church is all about discipleship. Our mission statement is three words long: to make disciples. That's the only reason this church exists, to make disciples. And so if it is not making disciples, it is not serving the purpose for which it was called, and it is not doing what Jesus has beckoned us to do. We follow him, we're transformed by him, and he makes us like him, fishers of men. This is what the church must be. But how? How can we do it? How can we actually grow in Christlikeness? Well, there are three lanes of Christlikeness. Imagine Christlikeness as a lifelong journey that you're walking towards Christlikeness. You'll never stop walking till he calls you home or he returns, but you're continually advancing. Now, as you are walking towards Christlikeness, there are three lanes. And sometimes you're in one, sometimes you're in another, and sometimes you're in the third. All three lanes are essential to the discipleship process. The first lane is the personal lane. The personal lane of Christlikeness is where you do your personal relationship with Jesus. You do your personal relationship with Yahweh. This is where you have personal Bible study, personal worship, personal service, and you are doing things individually on your own. Now, as a church, I try to do everything I can, and the leadership of this congregation tries to do everything it can to help you, but we can't hold your hand. Personal relationship with Jesus is entirely dependent upon you heeding the call of Jesus. You have to decide to do that. Now, we'll try. Every Tuesday, I'll send out a discipleship email that has a devo and a prayer prompt, and I'll say, why don't you think this? And why don't you pray this way this week? And so all of us can be on the same page, thinking about the same thing, but it's up to us to do that. It's personal. We can't force you to. You have to decide to. But that is not the only lane of Christlikeness. The next lane of Christlikeness is the corporate lane. The corporate lane is what we're experiencing right now. We're all together. The corporate lane, corporate. Like, it comes from the Greek word corpus, body. It's the body of Christ meeting together, worshiping Yahweh through song, worshiping Yahweh through his word, worshiping Yahweh through service. When we all come together and we think the same things and we commune with God and we commune with other believers, this is the corporate body of Christ. Yes, you've got to have the corporate lane, but there is a third lane, and that third lane is the smaller setting lane. The smaller setting lane is vital, because in a church of this size, you can't know everyone. Do you know everyone's name? No, but you've got to know someone's name. You've got to get involved. You have to know some people or your faith will die. But in groups, your faith will grow best. We have to grow. This is, in fact, the entire model of the Bible. This three-lane approach is what the Bible calls us to. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we see in the word of God this come alive. Consider Acts chapter 2. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and daily devoting themselves with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with glad and sincere hearts. Consider Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, the apostles did not cease teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Consider Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, where the apostle Paul talks to the Ephesian elders saying, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying both to Jews and to Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Or in the letters from Paul, the book of Romans, and in the book of 1 Corinthians, Romans 16, Paul writes, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks. Also greet the church that is in their house. And then from the other perspective, 1 Corinthians 16, Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord. with the church that is in their house. Did you see it? All are called to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and yet they didn't just have their personal relationship, they also met in the temple courts and from house to house. They were taught publicly and from house to house. They met near the temple and in groups. Paul would teach at the lecture hall of Tyrannus for years in front of thousands. The apostles would teach in front of thousands and also from house to house, a smaller setting, so that everyone could have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. The three lanes of Christlikeness are completely biblical. So how can we do it? How can we do it? How can we grow in these areas? There are three lanes of Christlikeness. We want to help. We try to do a good job with the corporate. We try to have excellent music. We try to have fun sermons. We try to have a really great opportunity for us all to get together as a body. But we want to help the smaller setting, and we want to help the personal relationship. And so the leadership of Glendale Christian Church has decided to gift you with another powerful tool. Yes, you have the Word of God that you can read on your own. And yes, you have my devotions weekly and my prayer prompts every single week. But what we want to give to you is another powerful tool to help you in the smaller setting and personally grow in your relationship with Jesus. It's called Right Now Media. And I'd like for you to watch this short clip that explains to you.
Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John.
I have fallen in love with the work of Paul as I've studied the book of 1 Corinthians, and I believe you will too.
This is where Jesus taught in Capernaum, and you have to understand this scene.
The Lord is my shepherd. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look deeply into the 23rd Psalm.
Right Now Media. It's for groups. It's for personal devotion. It's for parents.
The bullseye of parenting is to raise children who become like Jesus.
It's for kids.
This is Phil. We're digging into the Bible, which, as we've mentioned, is more than just a book.
It's for tough times.
So when you recognize that you're trying to have a conversation with your spouse and they're not ready to talk, it's not helpful to keep pressing
them. It's for every phase of life.
If you've made mistakes with money, you know what that makes you? Over 12.
And now it's yours. We've purchased a Right Now Media subscription for everyone in our church. So check your inbox for the digital invitation and download the app for instant access to thousands of biblically based videos. Get equipped. Get inspired.
Right Now Media is a powerful tool. It's kind of like Bible study Netflix. There are 20,000 videos, 20,000 Bible studies that you can browse through and see. You can search by category. There are things, did you hear it? It is for groups, personal devotion, and for children. That's right, there's a whole kids section. Sometimes you don't want your kids watching YouTube TV. Sometimes you don't want your kid watching Netflix. You put on Right Now Media, they have kids' cartoons and programming completely appropriate and vetted that is to advance God stuff. There is good stuff here. So you can get this free tool in one of three ways. If we have your email and you receive our email updates, well, then you've received an invitation. Just go to your email, click the link, and you can get in. All you have to do is type in your email, enter your own password, and then boom, you're in. Or if you're not on our email list, you can click that QR code right there. And guess what? This isn't just for you sitting in the room. We can give this to anyone we know. Anyone who comes to our church. Like imagine Fall Festival, where over 1,000 kids come to our parking lot. We're going to give away a little flyer that has the QR code and the link inside it so that they and all their families can get this tool too. Cool. Or you can just go to the website. You can just go to rightnowmedia.com or .org, join Glendale. Boom, you're in. It's super simple and it's very helpful. How many hours do we spend scrolling through Netflix, looking through Amazon Prime, trying to find a good show to watch? Sometimes it's hard for us to do Bible study on our own. Okay, cool, how about this? Watch a Bible study video on your own. I know you can do that because we all do. But it could also be a tremendous benefit to our groups. Yes. There are three lanes to Christlikeness. And as the corporate body of Christ, we'll take care of the sermons, we'll take care of the big house worship, but you are on the hook for your own personal relationship. And you can help lead your groups. Oh, it's so important to be part of a group. So, what group should you be a part of? Well, I want you to make the connection. I want you to get plugged into a connection group. That's what we call small groups. You heard Bob, our deacon of small groups, our deacon of connection groups, and there are four different opportunities for you. First, our Bible studies. Instead of just showing up for the 10:45 service, you could come to the 9:40 Bible class. We've got a bunch that meet right down the hall on Sunday morning. Sunday morning Bible classes. We also have Wednesday morning Bible classes, Thursday morning Bible classes, Wednesday night Bible classes. We've got Bible classes all throughout. Get into a Bible class so you can get the word of God in you. It's very important, and we have many opportunities. Not only that, but we have life groups. Life groups meet both at the church and at people's homes, and it is all about doing life together. It's where you can focus on the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. You can eat a meal together and share what's happening in your life with other people as you do life, accountability, care, concern, and valuing together. But maybe you just want to go have some fun. Okay, great. How about a social recreation club? Come play pickleball with Bob and Craig. They did win first place at the Harmony House charity tournament yesterday. Congrats, boys. Good job. And they met and joined as a team through Monday Night Pickleball stuff. Awesome. Helping shape the community. That's great. And you know how easy it is to invite somebody to pickleball? Hey, you want to come get some exercise? They clear out all the chairs and they got three pickleball courts in the gym. And it's very low pressure. And yet you'll have godly people talking about godly things. Oh, we've also got the Jehu's Car Club. We've got hiking club, book club, crafting club, coffee club. Join an activity club. Or maybe you're ready to give back. Well, then join a serve team or a ministry team. You can join the tech team, the worship team, the safety team, the prayer team, the warm welcome team, the coffee team, the hub team, the youth ministry team, the early childhood team, the elementary team. There's so many different ministry opportunities. Anybody who says, man, there's no place for me to plug in, is not paying attention. So what I'd love for you to do is go right back over there and get plugged in. I want you to find the little booklet that explains all of our small groups, all of our connection groups, and find which one is good for you. I don't need you to join every single one, and that's too much. But every single adult who goes to Glendale should be a part of not just the corporate meeting and not just individual relationship with Jesus, but every single adult should also be part of a smaller setting. Now, you might be wondering, yeah, but does the Bible really, really push me to get together and meet in a smaller setting? This is what Hebrews chapter 10 says. And let us consider how to spur one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as some are in the habit, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Yeah, you'll see the day drawing near, and I want you not to give up meeting together. Don't give up assembling together. Be part of a group. Faith grows best in groups. Be part of a connection group. So here's the very specific three-part ask that I have for you this week. Number one, embrace the community of believers. I bet you've probably had church hurts. I bet you've gone to a place where you've been whispered about. I bet you've gone to a place that didn't stand boldly on the word of God. I bet you've gone to a congregation that wasn't very nice or welcoming or friendly. I know, and I'm sorry. On behalf of every church out there who's done it wrong, I'm sorry. We wanna try to do it right. None of us are perfect, but we serve the perfect God. So together, let's grow in Christ-likeness. We can do this. Embrace the community of believers. Isolation is death. Second, walk the three lanes of Christ-likeness. Walk that personal lane. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Walk that smaller setting lane where you get into a life group or a Bible study or a recreation club or a serve team and be part of the corporate fellowship. It's so important. Walk the three lanes of Christ-likeness and get plugged in. Get plugged in. Find a connection group if you're not in a connection group. Go to that table right after service. Look at all the groups. Talk to the people that are in those groups and they will help you. Would you stand with me now as we pray? Dear Yahweh, we love you. We call upon your perfect triune name, thanking you for Glendale Christian Church. I know we don't do it perfectly, but you do. Please work in us powerfully. Please work in us completely. Please work in us wholly. Please help us to embrace the community of believers, because there are some who just want to do it alone, and I don't understand that. Doing it alone always leads to death. Help us to walk the three lanes of Christ-likeness. Jesus, you invited us. You are the one who transforms us. You are the one who can make us to be like you and fish for men. Please help us to get into a connection group. Help us to be plugged in so that we can do the work that you have for us. Yahweh, we love you. We love you, but please don't just take our word for it. Please see it in our actions. This we pray in your holy and perfect name. Amen.